From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Later tonight, psychic Joseph Jacobs. And what does the future bring for all of us? We've got a major story to talk about for the next 2 hours. Let me quickly, though, go through some of the stories of the day. Well, so far, the countdown for Discovery is now in its final hours. NASA was dealt an embarrassing setback, though, when a window cover fell off the shuttle and damaged thermal tiles near the tail. The space agency quickly fixed the problem, they say, and said that it was still on track for launch on Wednesday. The mishap was an eerie reminder, the very thing that doomed Columbia 2.5 years ago. Damage to the spaceship's fragile thermal shield. Now, the lightweight plastic cover on one of Discovery's cockpit windows came loose while the spaceship was on its launch pad, falling some 60 feet, striking a bulge in the fuselage, according to Stephanie Stilson, the NASA manager in charge of Discovery's launch preparations. No one knows why the cover, which was held in place with tape, fell off. Two tiles on an aluminum panel were damaged, and the entire panel was replaced with a spare one, and what Stilson says was just a minor repair job. Eerie, though, indeed. On the heels of Hurricane Dennis, attention now shifting to a new tropical storm that formed late Monday in the Atlantic, Tropical Storm Emily. Some 530 miles east-southeast of Barbados, heading west. It had sustained winds of 50 miles an hour and was expected to strengthen. In Connecticut, police now say they have enough evidence to arrest a second suspect in the death of renowned scientist Dr. Eugene Malov. Malov's boyhood home on Salem Turnpike remained vacant Tuesday night, 14 months after the New Hampshire resident was found murdered in the driveway. Last month, police charged a 43-year-old man, Gary McAvoy, with felony murder. McAvoy is scheduled to appear in court tomorrow for a probable cause hearing. A police affidavit says that McAvoy may have had a conspirator identified as 39-year-old Joe Riley of Groton. According to a television station, police will not discuss Joe Riley's involvement in the case. However, they report that they expect a warrant to be signed to make a second arrest in the Malov case. Court documents indicate that Riley and McAvoy both admitted to abusing crack cocaine the week of Malov's murder. After a day of intensive police activity, detectives say at least one of the four suspected London bombers died in last week's tube and bus blasts. Security sources said it was likely three men whose belongings were found at the scenes are also dead, and there's a question mark about the fourth bomber. Explosives were found in Leeds and Luton after a series of dawn raids. It was unlikely the men, who police believe were all British, acted alone. The men were captured on tape arriving together in London by train. They have seen that. One of the bombers thought to be as young as 19 years old. At least three of the suspects are believed to be British men of Pakistani origin who lived in West Yorkshire. Yesterday, we reported on a story that was in World Net Daily. According to captured Al-Qaeda leaders and documents, there is a plan called the American Hiroshima, and that involves the multiple detonation of nuclear weapons already smuggled into the United States over the Mexican border with the help of the MS-13 street gang and other organized crime groups. Now, I promised we would bring Dr. Paul Williams on the program, and we will for 2 hours tonight. He is the author of this report in his book, Al-Qaeda Connection, International Terrorism, Organized Crime, and the Coming Apocalypse. We will talk with Dr. Paul Williams in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Paul L. Williams, Ph.D., is a journalist, author of Al-Qaeda Connection, International Terrorism, Organized Crime, and the Coming Apocalypse, The Vatican Exposed, Money, Murder, and the Mafia, Osama's Revenge, The Next 9/11, What the Media and the Government Haven't Told You. He has served as a consultant for the FBI, editor and publisher of the Metro in Scranton, Pennsylvania, as well as an adjunct professor of humanities at the University of Scranton. Now, after we had this story on yesterday that was published on the internet in WorldNet Daily, I figured we had to get Paul Williams on the program tonight, and he is with us. Paul, thank you for joining us at this short notice for what I believe to be probably one of the biggest stories that really, in terms of mainstream media, has not been told yet. So it's good to have you with us.
My pleasure, George.
This, and there's a lot of things I want to talk with you about in the next couple hours, Paul. But one thing I did last night after seeing this story on WorldNet Daily is to really challenge some of the mainstream media to begin to talk with you, to begin to investigate this story, because, and I'm sure you believe it to be entirely true, we've got to let the American people know what's going on out there. And it's not being told, is it?
No, you're absolutely right. But the fact that bin Laden has nuclear weapons has been verified by everybody. It's been verified by our intelligence agencies, by the Brits, by the Israelis, by the Saudis, by the Russians, by the Pakistanis. The only disagreement that ever came about was the number that he might have. The Russians believe he has somewhere between 12 to 15. The Saudis claim he has up to 70. It's been verified by information and nuclear material that was obtained from Afghanistan during Operation Enduring Freedom. At the first part of that invasion of Afghanistan, our troops discovered a 25-page document entitled Superbomb that describes a highly sophisticated and little-known shortcut to initiate a nuclear explosion. They also discovered a canister, and you remember this, George, containing uranium-238.
Yes.
In Kandahar. Well, that canister, it's interesting they left that behind because it has a value of between $7 and $8 million. And if they left that behind, what did they take with them? You know, that raised those questions. But more importantly, with the arrest of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And you remember that, too.
Mm-hmm. And he's the one who's still apparently spilling his guts somewhere, right?
Well, you know, they got most of the material that concerning Operation Hiroshima came from his laptop. And it's incredible information. But what we discovered there is that not only are they planning, is Al-Qaeda planning a nuclear attack on America, but that attack is well on its way. But, you know, bin Laden has been in search of nuclear materials going back to 1992 when he was in the Sudan.
I was going to say, Paul, is this something he's been accumulating prior to 9/11?
Every news agency in the world that looked into this can verify this. When he was in the Sudan, George, he started buying primarily from South Africa nuclear materials and nuclear devices. And when he returned to Afghanistan in 1996, and he set up this huge operation, largely through the heroin sales, because he took over the heroin fields, that's where his money comes from. But with that money, he purchased at least 20 tactical nuclear weapons, primarily nuclear suitcase bombs from the Chechens. Now, that story about the nuclear suitcases was picked up almost immediately by the Israelis. It was on the front page of the Jerusalem Post. Then it appeared in the London Times. Then it was picked up by BBC. Then it was carried throughout Saudi Arabia and throughout Russia. The only people who really turned a blind eye to that story were the Americans.
Paul, I had a report a couple of years ago from two big sources that our government had found three suitcase nukes in this country, and they disarmed them. Now, I was never able to verify it. We talked a little bit on the program with some cursory interviews, but I never blasted away at it because without having the corroboration, this is a hot story, obviously. I just felt that I didn't want to create widespread panic. Had you heard anything about that before?
Well, I could tell you more than that. The George Tenet even announced the manufacturing number and the serial date on several of these weapons. Unfortunately, he believed that many of them were still loose in the U.S. when Sheikh Kabbani, who's the president of the Supreme Islamic Council of North America, appeared before joint sessions of Congress, he expressed his belief that between 20 to 40 nuclear weapons are already here. We know that at several of them are. Do you remember a guy by the name of Dr. Mahmoud from the AQ Khan Research?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Do you remember we were after we found out what a nuclear proliferator Khan himself was? Mm-hmm. You know, he's just for your listeners.
And by the way, his hands were slapped, and nothing was ever done with
nothing,
him.
No. Nothing was ever done. He's as free as a bird today. They say he's confined to Pakistan, but. But in any case, Dr. Khan, of course, is the one who's responsible for conveying nuclear technology to Iran, Libya, North Korea, and also, George, to places like Brazil. You know, Brazil is now producing nuclear weapons.
Now, in the big fear, though, now, Paul, as you have reported in your book, is not the fact that he's got the material. The fact is that this gang of 20,000 former El Salvadorians who fled their country as a result of civil war, called the MS Gang, which stands for Mara Salvatrucha, they're in this country. And you're reporting that they have helped these terrorists bring these materials, bring these bombs into this country.
Well, George, this was even reported by Time Magazine last summer. One nuclear weapon was forward deployed to Mexico. And it has been carried over the border by MS-13 members. MS-13 members have been meeting with al-Qaeda officials, including Adnan al-Shukrajama, who's the next Mohammed Atta in Honduras. I mean, there are videotapes of Adnan al-Shukrajama meeting with these MS-13 members, and MS-13 has established itself in every major city throughout the United States. And
I've got to ask you this, Paul. Why is our government, one, not telling us about this at all? Two, I've not heard one national media person in a news conference or in a presentation where the president or the secretary of defense is available ask them any specific questions about this. And then, of course, the third is, what are we doing in Iraq when we've got this potential of blowing up this entire country, and these troops could be better off spent here looking for this stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if I can backtrack a little bit, I was telling you about the AQ Khan network. Khan himself, and this has been underreported too, Khan himself met on several occasions with bin Laden. Scientists from the AQ Khan Research Laboratory, Mahmoud and Majid and at least 30 others, provided ongoing nuclear assistance to bin Laden and al-Zawahiri while they were in Afghanistan, and even right now while they are in Pakistan. But in any case, this is what I wanted to say. The CIA grabbed the laptop of Dr. Mahmoud. From his laptop, they obtained information that at least another nuclear weapon was forward deployed from Karachi to the United States and safely arrived over our shores. So the nukes are here.
Okay, why haven't they detonated them yet?
Oh, well, that's a great question. But it can only be answered by bin Laden himself. Bin Laden has this belief in parity that comes from the Quran. It's really an eye for an eye, a retaliation. But he came up with the figure that 4 million Americans must die.
2 million children.
Yeah. But that figure comes, the children come, that figure comes from the economic sanctions that we imposed on Iraq after, the first invasion of Iraq back in 1991.
Right, and he claims that we're responsible for all those deaths.
Right. So for the sake of parity, 4 million Americans have to go. There's only one way to do that. You can't do that with a biological weapon. You can't do that with a chemical weapon. You can only do that with a nuclear weapon and a tactical nuclear weapon, not even a dirty nuke. And he announced he had, you know, everyone that looked into this story, including Bill Keller, the editor of the New York Times, he was wondering whether they had nuclear weapons, and he wrote a think piece. Nobody paid much attention to it for some reason, and this is the editor of the New York Times. who said the best reason for thinking that it won't happen, that's that a nuke won't go off in the United States, is that it hasn't happened yet, and that's terrible logic. Keller concluded that not only does Al-Qaeda have the nukes, but they are that an attack is imminent.
Now, would members of this administration publicly deny at a news conference? Let's say tomorrow morning somebody's available.
They won't.
Scott McClellan's there, and he's talking about, you know, this investigation going on.
No, nobody would deny. Nobody would ever, Bush or Cheney or none of them would deny what I'm saying.
They would not deny it publicly.
Absolutely not.
Yet no one's asked them then.
Well, when members of the press ask what is the greatest threat,
they always say
American
nuclear.
People, they all say the same thing: a nuclear threat from a terrorist organization. So they're telling you that, you know, that this is a real threat.
Well, Paul, are they concerned? I mean, you're talking about the possibility, and in the story we read yesterday, which is part of your book, is that they would like to take out New York, Boston, Washington, Las Vegas, Miami, Chicago, and Los Angeles, and there's the parody.
Right.
Where's the concern? I mean, again, my question, what are we doing in Iraq when the concern is to protect our country here, not these terrorists that are out there? They're here. They're coming in from Mexico, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
What are we doing about it?
I'll tell you what we're doing about it, George. Pretty much nothing.
Maybe there's a clandestine operation going on, and they're scurrying the country looking for this.
You know, I'd love to believe that. I've worked with the FBI for years and years and years. I was responsible for the arrest and conviction of major crime figures on the East Coast. I mean, I've appeared. You know, I've worked with them. I've been paid by them. I've appeared before grand juries. I've done everything imaginable with them. These people are not like Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. They're not capable of like breaking down the door of a mosque and grabbing a couple of these radicals by the throat and gathering information. That doesn't happen. Most of these people work from 9 to 5 and they're damn happy to get out of there at 5 o'clock, and that's the way it goes. And for instance, I'll tell you something that's very disturbing. The Sicilian mafia, by and large, has been taken over by the Albanian mafia.
These guys
are all Muslims, and they have allegiance to radical Islam. The Albanians and the Sicilians control the airports. I received incredible information about what's taking place in the Philadelphia airport. I mean, something that would turn your hair white. So I reported it to the Justice Department. Do you know what happened?
What? Nothing. Nothing, I would guess.
Right. All right. I'm now waiting. This is a month. I haven't heard from them.
Do you, and we're coming up to a break here, and we're going to come back, but is our government expecting a nuclear disaster here in this country?
Our government has already, as you know, beginning in October, if anyone paid any attention to what was taking place around Washington, D.C., I mean, they've already built that. I mean, they're in Rappahannock County, there's already an underground city. You know,
I believe there's one in Denver as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
People have been hearing low hums for years calling this program, Paul. They say, George, it sounds like there's some underground tunneling going on. Well, I got to tell you, because we have touched all kinds of subjects on this show, Paul. People have called saying it's alien bases under there. Other people would call and say, no, I think our government's building something. This shadow government is doing something.
Exactly. I mean, these things sound crazy. But listen to me. The only thing that would keep a man like me up, I'm not a young man, in the middle of the night, and I'm on the East Coast, on your program, is the fact that I know what's going to happen, and I feel compelled, just as a human being, to warn my fellow countrymen of what is imminent. Eugene Habinger, who is the general in charge of strategic weapons at the Pentagon, said that a nuclear attack by terrorists in the United States is no longer a question of if, but a question of when.
Frightening.
That's right. That's General. That's the guy in charge of strategic weapons. Forget what I say.
Paul, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. I want to continue this dialogue with you. And then next hour, you're so kind enough to stay. We are going to open up the phone lines. And then 2 hours from now, psychic Joseph Jacobs joins us. And I'm thanking Joseph, too, because he did give up an hour of his time for this very important subject. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. There is a free CD available to you when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. Those of you who renew, you'll get a notice as well for this. It is called Perfect Possession, an interview that Art Bell did with Father Malachi Martin. This is indeed a classic. Couple ways to get it. Toll free, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. The other way, of course, is to go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Down there at the bottom of the homepage, you'll see the illustration, Perfect Possession, free CD with an After Dark subscription. Paul, one question, of course, as we continue our dialogue to some people who just don't believe this story. What do you tell them?
Yeah. Well, who do they have to hear it from? I mean, if they believe in the U.S. military, they should listen to General Habiger. If they believe in the academics, they should listen to Dr. Graham Allison, who's in charge of the Belfer Center at Harvard. Who says that a nuclear attack is imminent and will occur? He believes it's going to occur before the end of the year.
Oh my God!
Yeah, if you believe in the press, you turn to people like Bill Keller and BBC, reputable sources. They'll all tell you the same thing. If you want to turn to an intelligence agency, every intelligence agency in the world verifies the same thing. I'm nobody. I'm only a reporter. I'm only telling you, you know, what I learned and information that I can disseminate that I obtained from other people. But that's it.
There is one reporter in jail for not revealing her sources now. There's another before the same grand jury spilling his guts.
Right.
Are your sources confidential, or all out there?
In every book I write, at the end of every sentence, I have a footnote. That's one thing I always pride myself on. I would never say anything unless I could back it up.
So, in your opinion, how many of these potential nukes, suitcase nukes, are in the country now?
Well, when you speak about suitcase nukes, it's kind of deceptive. This is what he obtained: not only nuclear suitcase bombs, but he obtained small tactical nuclear weapons from the Russian arsenal. I'm talking about nuclear mines, things like that.
Okay.
Things that pack an incredible punch. But you know, any series of small tactical nuclear weapons. He has developed some on his own too. I believe Kobani's probably correct that there are at least 20 here.
At least 20.
Yeah.
Already put in position, Paul?
Already put in position. Tenet announced to Bush, this is back in October 2001, George Tenet, who is the former director of the CIA,
right,
the three had arrived here. And since then, we know from, as I mentioned before, from the laptop of Mahmoud and the laptop of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other people, that more weapons have been forward deployed to the U.S.
Don't we have the kind of equipment to search for potential radiation leakage or anything like that in order to find these?
Well,
satellites, something that would find these?
Well, you see, if you're transporting a nuclear weapon, you're going to transport it in a lead canister or into a canister where you're going to be able to contain the radiation.
So a leak-proof container.
Right. So if you want to transport one, let's face it, you could probably send one by Federal Express in this country. You could just put it in a package and take it to the post office.
You might. You might be able to get through with
but
something
even
as
if you
stupid
took, even
as that
if,
is.
Even if you decided to ship it overseas to, you know, from Karachi to one of our ports, only 10% of the freight is being investigated, is being inspected right now. So you have a wonderful chance of arriving here. Or put it in a private plane. Less than 25% of the freight in any private plane is examined.
Okay, now, just so we all have a clear picture of this potential horrible tragedy, if these 20, as you say, are scattered all around the country in strategic places, it's going to do damage. It's going to do a lot of damage. Cool. You're going to take out 4 million people. But keep in mind now there are 300 million in the United States. So you're not talking about shutting down the country, are you?
Yes. You're talking about night. If one of these went off, George, just one of these had a yield of 10 kilotons, and many of these weapons do. If one went off in New York or L.A., it would immediately take out about in the radius of ground zero where the detonation would occur. It would take out at least a half a mile, just a conventional explosive.
Oh my! And then what about the
fallout?
But
after that, after that would come a from that explosion would come a fireball that would have a temperature of it would reach 460 feet in
height.
Yeah, in height, and it would have a temperature of 10 million degrees Celsius.
And how far out would that go?
Oh, that would rip through L.A. and rip through New York, for miles, and vaporizing everything in its path. And after that would come juggernaut blast in excess of 640.
All right, so what is our response? Do we then retaliate and blow up the entire Middle East? What do we do?
Where do you retaliate? That's the problem. Where do you
retaliate? All right, so you obviously believe that Osama bin Laden, unlike some other people, is still alive, right?
A Boy Scout troop, George. We know exact. Last year, I wrote a book called Osama's Revenge, and I appeared on Fox News at least 30 times, and 200 other news programs, and I continually announced that bin Laden was in the Valley of Deer. That's the information that I received from every source.
That's near Pakistan. That's in Pakistan, isn't it?
Exactly. It's in the northwest frontier province of Pakistan. Well, at that time, the CIA was saying he's in Waziristan, which is farther, you know, much farther south. Well, guess what? 3 weeks ago, the CIA announced that, oh, we were wrong. He's in the Valley of Deer. He's been spotted there with satellites.
So take
Bora Bora.
Why don't we take it out?
Well, look at this. If, in fact, we invade Pakistan, that region, it's tribal, it's autonomous, the Musharraf government would topple. Pakistan would be taken over by mullahs, and Pakistan, of course, is nuclear capable. So you might have taken care of one nightmare, but you created another one.
Let me bring up this scenario, Paul, because I'm an old James Bond fan, and I have seen all those movies. And all they really wanted to do was cut a deal. You know, they always threatened, we have this kind of weapon. We've got this kind of capability. But now what we want is we want $1 billion. We want this, and then we'll go away. And, of course, James Bond always was able to foil the plot before it unfolded. Is it possible that what bin Laden is trying to do is not blow everything up, but merely to use economic extortion and by threats to just do whatever he has to do in terms of lining his own coffers? Is that possible?
No, I don't think it's possible at all, George. I think that this guy is believes his interpretation of the Quran. You know, Islam means submission. And from the time of, you know, right after the death of the prophet, the religion spread throughout the Arab world and throughout to the east and to the west, throughout northern Africa, to Spain, up through the Pyrenees of France, by the sword. Even the Crusades were caused by the Muslims moving east and moving west. And that has constantly occurred through the Ottoman Empire. It has occurred throughout history. They believe that the Judeo-Christian world has to submit to Islam, to the throne of Allah. I mean, Bin Laden wrote a letter to the American people that everyone should read. Everyone should read. You can get it out. You just go, if you have a computer, just type in Bin Laden's letter to America. Everyone should read that. He tells you exactly what he wants.
Well, we are getting responses from people who are scared to death. We're getting responses from people who believe this story entirely. We're getting responses from people who say this is just merely a plot to keep the push for terrorism, which we don't think exists. It's all created. We're getting all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
It is scary to even assume that this is real, Paul, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, if everyone is telling you that it is real, that this is going to occur and this is imminent, and you do not take note and you do not take heed, then you're foolish.
Yeah, that's no doubt. And I had to weigh this myself because this is a national show. It goes to 5 to 10 million people right now. I think I'd be irresponsible if I at least didn't get this out for people then to start raising questions throughout this country.
Absolutely, to their elections.
What is happening? I mean, this is... You know, I know Joe Farah. He's been on the program before. Mm-hmm. I mean, WorldNet Daily is not a small internet news service anymore. I mean, it's huge. What is going on in the mainstream network world with this? I mean, why aren't you on ABC or CBS or NBC? Why isn't this happening?
Can I tell you a story? Do we have time for it?
Yes, we sure do.
Okay. I was called to New York last September to meet with Terry Whitcraft, who's an executive producer for ABC News. She won a couple Emmys, and she wanted to do an hour-long program on terrorism. So I gave her everything that I'm saying to you, I told her.
Okay.
Terry Whitcraft. She verified everything, called me back. I met her in New York. So she said to me, she said, "Oh, Paul, I love the idea of doing this show that we're going to have that's going to be hosted by Peter Jennings and everything set up. Now, we need you to go out and get us some video or visuals for the program."
What kind of visuals?
Exactly, George.
If you could get the visuals, I'd say, tell us where the bombs are, Paul.
Look, I'm an old newsman. That's what I am. I'm not a movie producer. And, you know, I could care less about the visuals. So she said, "Oh, we have to have visuals since this is going to be prime time." So do you know what happened? Miss Whitcraft, with her Emmy, did not produce, even though she verified everything, did not produce that program on terrorism. She produced a program on UFOs with Peter Jennings.
And that was, and by the way, that was destroyed because nobody liked that.
Right. So that's what's happening. People in the news media now are more concerned with entertainment. Michael Jackson, Martha Stewart, The Runaway Bride, you know, all of that stuff is you know, that's what captures.
Well, and I've got to tell you, I mean, I've got one fast blast email. I have a computer here. I get instant feedback from people. And I got to tell you, 90% of the people are so happy that you're talking tonight. I can't tell you. But, I mean, I get one from someone who says, "I'm turning off the radio because I don't want to hear this. It scares me."
Well, it should scare you.
What do we do? Stick our heads in the sand and pretend that none of this possibly exists? I mean, even if you're wrong, it's possible that eventually this is going to happen. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think you are wrong.
Well,
I wish you were.
Exactly. If this were just my theory, it would be worthless. Believe me, worthless. This is the report. This is the consensus of the gathered intelligence community of the world, and the leading members of the press, and the leading scientists, and the leading academicians. I wrote a book about this, about the loose nukes last year. Hans Blix, the UN inspector,
mm-hmm.
went to Chechnya to see if this were true, because, you know, once again, is this verified? And he came back and he reported to the United Nations, yes. These guys have the nukes. That's Hans Blix. Did you hear that story?
Oh, well, I didn't hear that specific story, but I did hear from in your report that half of these weapons in the Al-Qaeda arsenal came from the Chechens.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Soviet Union fell apart, so did the safeguards, unfortunately.
Well, that was a disaster. What occurred when the first President Bush decided to that we were going to withdraw all of our nuclear weapons, and he encouraged Gorbachev to do the same. Unfortunately, Russia at that time was falling apart, and but when they were transporting the nukes that they had buried throughout Europe and different locations throughout Eastern Europe, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of nuclear weapons were stolen, reported missing. The black market started to boom. In Germany alone, they reported 700 incidents of sales of nuclear weapons. That was with the breakdown of the Soviet Union. And that's where bin Laden got his weapons from.
Paul, you had mentioned something about the Philadelphia airport. Can you touch on that a little bit? I mean, is that something
you
can share with us?
Yeah, there's a crime family up in northeastern Pennsylvania that's very much involved in, was involved in the matter of fact, the crime family has been by the CIA. There's a book called I Hear You Paint Houses, in which the people that I'm talking about were accused of killing Jimmy Hoffa and also of the hit on JFK.
I was, by the way, one of the last reporters to talk to Hoffa in Detroit in 1975.
You were one of the last.
Long
that's
time.
Right.
Yep.
But in any case, the crime family, this crime family controls a great many airports throughout the area. They have kiosks, they have businesses within the airport. They control the freight coming in, so it doesn't have to be inspected. It's taken to different locations. They control the workers. This has been going on for years and years and years. And you know this, George. And in Philadelphia, the crime family that I'm speaking of about is in business with an imam, a very radical imam, and they're not bringing not only bringing in drugs and stuff like that, but I think they're bringing in some of the materials that we're talking about.
Are they being investigated? Looked
no.
at?
Yeah, they're being looked at, but that doesn't mean investigated. George, in the United States right now, we know that 80% of the mosques have been radicalized. The Farouk Mosque here in Brooklyn, for instance, has raised millions for the jihad. They have sent recruits to Afghanistan to serve as Al-Qaeda operatives and soldiers, and they have served as shelter for Al-Qaeda operatives. This is just one mosque. I could name hundreds of others.
Well, now
this one mosque. Just let me tell you.
All right, go ahead.
Add this. Can you imagine during World War II? Can you imagine our forefathers allowing German American organizations and Bunds raising funds for the Third Reich, recruiting soldiers for Adolf Hitler? Can you imagine this going on in America? This would never occur.
Well,
it's happening right now at the local mosque in your major cities.
Of course, during World War II, they didn't have to worry about that, Paul, because some major corporations were funneling the Nazi Party. You know what? And that was pathetic. Yeah, I mean, that was happening in this country at the time.
But I'm talking about the American people.
Yeah.
The American people, by and large, I would believe the people like my father who served in World War II.
Mine too. Mine too.
Yeah, I don't think that they were aware of it.
No.
Or they would have gone ballistic.
No, not at all.
But the American people right now know what's going on at the mosque.
Well, when I asked you, why isn't anything being done, is it possible that this is an agenda by globalists, because we've talked about this on this program before, who basically want this to happen?
I don't know why anyone would, in their right mind. I mean, the American economy would be destroyed, which means that the impact on the world economy would be devastating.
Well, then you would then think that they would be doing anything they can to find this stuff.
Well, that is one of the great mysteries. A great mystery, there are many mysteries in this country. Like after 9/11, how come the freight isn't being inspected? How come the borders are as wide open as before? After 9/11, if everything were secure, the amount of drugs that is coming into this country would have been cut back a thousandfold. What happened was exactly the opposite. The amount of drugs coming into this country has increased at least tenfold since 9/11. Now, if heroin can flow into this country, into our airports, into our seaports, across our border, then other things can be transported equally.
Paul, stay with us. We've got an hour to go. I'm going to open up the phone lines now because I know people who are concerned about this subject would like to talk with you, question you about a number of these things, as well as I still have a few more questions as well. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with our guest. Paul Williams does not have a website, basically says he doesn't need one, doesn't want one. His book is called The Al-Qaeda Connection, International Terrorism, Organized Crime, and the Coming Apocalypse. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment.